Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM Silver City, and on Las Cruces Community Radio, KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, a nonprofit organization that promotes community health by protecting our environment and natural resources. It's Earth Week, and there's a lot going on in southern New Mexico and around the world in celebration of Earth Day on Thursday. This year's international theme is Restore Our Earth, and focuses on innovative thinking that can restore the world's ecosystems. One of the major problems confronting our global environment is the production and management of waste. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. generated 292.4 million tons of municipal solid waste in 2018, or 4.9 pounds per person per day. And that's not counting the industrial waste, construction debris, and municipal wastewater sludge that is produced every year. Now, plastics in particular are ubiquitous in our environment, causing impacts to wildlife and ecosystems. And at every step in the life cycle, plastics disproportionately harm communities of color, low-income communities, and indigenous communities by polluting the air, water, and soil. And the U.S., not surprisingly, generates the most plastic per capita of any country. So what is being done here in the U.S., in New Mexico and Grant County to address the waste problem? For the first half of the show today, I'm pleased to have with me Sarah Pierpont, Executive Director of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. We'll be talking about the coalition's work to promote sustainable waste management, as well as their latest effort on the Break Free from Plastics campaign. And Chris Lemmy, President of Silver City Recycles, will be with me for the second half of the show. So with that, good morning, Sarah Pierpont, and welcome to Earth Matters.
Good morning, Allison. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be on your show.
Great to have you here. So Sarah, to kick us off, tell us about the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. What is your mission? What do you do?
Yeah, we are a statewide member-supported nonprofit organization, and our mission is to inspire New Mexicans to reduce, reuse, and recycle. We changed that mission about 5 years ago. We used to have the mission statement of leading New Mexico to value waste as a resource. And our board, I was really proud of my board of directors. You know, they wanted to recognize that reduce and reuse need to come first in the hierarchy of reduce, reuse, and recycle. So that's when we changed our mission.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I most of us have heard of the three R's. And why are these concepts important to sustainable materials management?
That's a great question. And I love how there's like now like 10 R's. If we really want to go like refix, refuse, repair, repurpose, you know, recreate. I love all the R's. But essentially, recycling is really important. And it's a great way to save our natural resources, reduce water, reuse energy. But if we are only depending on recycling for managing our waste, we've lost the whole game. If we don't focus on reducing and reusing and kind of pollution prevention, source reduction, all those things before we get to recycling, then we're just going to continue in that unsustainable 4.9 pounds of waste per person per day that you mentioned. And we need to focus on some of the higher ups that will help us not have to manage the problem in the first place.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the New Mexico Recycling Coalition is addressing all of these R's. And so mm-hmm. I really want to focus on what you are doing. Well, number one, in terms of waste reduction, because you've got a number of programs and projects in the area of waste reduction.
Yeah, right now we're really happy to have a USDA Rural Utilities Solid Waste Grant. And what that is funding is sustainable materials management, which can mean a lot of things. Our grant is focusing on backyard composting, repair cafes, and reuse. So composting is kind of overlooked as a way to reduce waste or recycle. People think of recycling as, you know, aluminum cans, plastic bottles, but 40% of Americans' solid waste is compostable. And about half of that is food waste and the other half is yard debris. So we really need to use this as the low-hanging fruit and keep this out of the landfill for various reasons. One, we can create valuable soil amendments that help grow food and retain water and put nutrients back in New Mexico's soils, which we all know we need that, especially in our desert environment. And also, when you have that organic material going into the landfill, it will decompose in an oxygen-poor environment, in an anaerobic environment, where it then makes methane. And methane, we all know, is a dangerous greenhouse gas. It's 20 to 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide. We really don't want to be creating methane, especially when it's really simple to not do that in the landfill setting. Don't put organic material in the landfill. You're barely going to create methane. And then you can also create a valuable soil amendment that our soils need here in the state.
Yeah, that's really great. And what about some of the reuse programs that you got going? Because part of that grant, I believe, is this idea of these fix-it clinics, which I love. And I know you've done a few already. So maybe you can tell us about them and how successful they've been.
Yeah. Well, so when we wrote the grant, it was pre-coronavirus, and we were planning on traveling around the state and hosting in-person backyard compost clinics, repair cafes, and we've pivoted to online, and it's been actually working really well. The beauty of online is that you can often reach a larger audience than you would have if you had gone somewhere in person for various reasons. But so the fix-it clinics or the repair cafes are really fun. It's where we have kind of experts that might be retired engineers or textile artists or handy people, and they are the coaches. And the coaches get paired up with people that have a broken household item, like a lamp or a toaster. It might be a chair, anything like that. And they walk them through how to disassemble it. You know, we ask that people have some general tools on hand. Some things that have been fixed are, you know, an electronic keyboard that they took apart and just took the dust out of it and put it back together and it worked. Sometimes it's an old lamp that they recognize they need one specific bolt. And so that person will go to the hardware store and get it and then can fix it. And so the coaches don't repair the item for you, but they help empower participants to learn how to repair their own household items, because that's kind of a skill that we're all losing in such a, we're such a consumer-driven throwaway culture that a lot of times things we buy aren't built to last, or if they are broken, it's just almost as cheap to throw it away and buy a new one as it is to manage it. So we were trying to kind of bring back that community sense and that empowerment that you can repair your own things. You can have something for a long time. If you buy, a lamp, it doesn't need to last just for 2 years. It should last for 20 or 25 years. So those are really fun. And we'll have those virtually. We'd love to have one in Grant County soon. And people can look at our website to kind of get an idea and possibly sign up to be a coach if someone is listening and they feel like they could help someone virtually repair a household item. They can visit our website at recyclenewmexico.com and sign up to be a coach.
That's great, Sarah. And also, I don't want to forget, you have some upcoming composting workshops too. So tell
us.
Yes.
So the backyard compost program, we are working to empower people to know how to make compost in their own backyards. So, some cities, Albuquerque, kind of parts of Santa Fe, have a larger commercial compost operation. So that means if someone does want to pay a fee to have someone take their compost offsite and make it for, take their food scraps offsite and make compost, they can. But most parts of our state don't have that option. So we want to empower people to learn how to do that themselves. They can register for one of our hour-long virtual trainings at our website, which is recyclenewmexico.com. It's in the bottom right-hand corner, the link to register. And we'll have those throughout the spring. And once they take the hour-long class, then they are eligible for us to mail them a free compost starter kit. So they can choose if they want that to be a recycled plastic black compost bin. It's about 3 feet by 3 feet by 4 feet tall with a lid. Or they can choose if they want a straw bale system, which is like 6 to 7 straw bales put in a rectangle. And then we'll also give them some red wiggler worms. These worms are not the regular worms you'd find like in the ground that like to eat the carbon, the dead leaves. Red wigglers are specific that they like to eat your food scraps. And so if they're in your compost system, then they will help speed up the process to turn that food and yard debris into, the great organic compost that we want to put on our gardens. So I encourage anyone listening, Grant County is an eligible community. You do have to be from a town of 10,000 or less. So that means Silver City, you know, Hurley, all those areas around there, to be able to get the free starter kit. But bigger cities like Las Cruces, Albuquerque, they can still attend the training and learn the material, but we just can't, per our grant guidelines, mail them the starter kit.
Yeah, that's a great resource. And I love the idea that you'll be walking people through how to do it. And that's super. So let's shift gears here in the few remaining minutes we have here, Sarah, to talk about recycling. So
okay.
Maybe you can tell us what's going on. As you know, Silver City ended its curbside recycling program, and many cities have done the same thing across the country. So what's happening here in New Mexico, and how is the New Mexico Recycling Coalition helping this situation?
Yeah, recycling has had a tough go. In 2018, China closed the doors to imports of scrap material, and I understand that. We were basically sending them garbage and saying it was recyclable, and it was overwhelming their system, and so they just said no more. And then with COVID, we've had an increase in disposable plastic items, and across the country, towns and communities have seen an increase in their trash because of this. And I'm interested, you know, how you quoted the US EPA for 2018. I'm guessing, you know, in 2020, we'll see a pretty big spike, and it's probably way more than 4.9 pounds of trash generated per person per day. So what that has happened, Silver City was a victim to China. And a lot of the rural towns in our state have stopped their recycling programs. Carlsbad, the area east of Albuquerque, Moriarty, they don't have a recycling program except for aluminum cans and cardboard. Grants, New Mexico is only accepting cardboard. I mean, they used to take paper, plastic, aluminum. And so what we're really trying to do is to encourage these communities to keep recycling what they can easily process and still sell. And that is usually aluminum and tin or scrap metal and cardboard. With China and National Sword, is what it's called, that import ban. And COVID, the commodities that have had the hardest go are plastics and mixed paper. And we are seeing a little bit of a rebound in mixed paper now. But a lot of the bigger towns in New Mexico, Santa Fe, Los Alamos, Albuquerque, Las Cruces, they've continued their recycling program as it had been, you know, in 2017. But what they've really had to do is they have really increased the expense related to it, because the processing cost has gone up, you know, 2, 3, 4 times. Because when you have supply and demand, and demand is lower and supply is just the same, you have to have a beautiful, clean product. To get a beautiful, clean product for recycling, it has to be pure. If you're selling a bale of cardboard, it has to be 99.5% cardboard. And that means paying more to process it, to sort it out, especially if it's already all mixed together in single stream or co-mingled. So quality is key. And a lot of that quality comes at the beginning of the process, where communities are trying to educate the residents on what goes into the recycling bin to begin with. It is common in New Mexico and nationwide that if you have a curbside recycling program, before you even take the stuff to the processor, 30% of it is garbage. It's 30% of it does not belong in that bin, and it's residents usually thinking something is recyclable when it's not. So that is a big part of education and outreach, to make sure people know what is recyclable. And it used to be, if in doubt, put it in the recycling bin and we'll sort it out. But now the general message is, if in doubt, throw it away. It's too expensive and hard for communities to sort out that, you know, that garden hose that someone might think is recyclable, but really it's not.
Absolutely. That makes sense, Sarah. So we need to take a break. We'll be right back after a minute here and continue our discussion with Sarah Pierpont of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition about waste reduction efforts in New Mexico. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM Silver City and KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces. This is Allison Civic, Director of Gila Resources Information Project. And for the first half of our show today, I'm talking with Sarah Pierpont, Executive Director of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition. Sarah, I'd like to talk specifically now about the serious global problem of plastics. Why are plastics such a huge problem, and why have recycling efforts not been effective at dealing with plastic waste?
Oh, plastics. It's such a topic. It's such a big issue. Well, plastics are built to last. That's the, you know, a lot of the qualities that make them a useful product also make them really hard to manage at the end of their life because they don't go away. And recycling efforts for plastics have failed. There's about 8% of all the plastics in the U.S. get recycled. So the problem is it's not standardized. So if you look on the bottom of a plastic container, you'll see those little triangular chasing arrows. And so consumers think, great, recyclable, put it in the bin. But that has really been an effort of greenwashing by the industry, because they know there's a lot of stories, and NPR did a great story on this, and so did Frontline. The plastic industry has known for a very long time that their material cannot be recycled very well. There was an expose in the 80s. They wrote these, their documents were found. But they also recognized that consumers were worried about this. So they lied and said that plastics should just be recycled, recycled, recycled. That's the answer. Recycle, recycle, recycle. And recycling plastics number one and number two bottles and number five all have markets. But those other ones, the only reason they have markets, it's because of a false system based on exports and global poverty. If you don't have global poverty and exports, those materials don't really have an end market. So what do we do about it? It's such a massive problem. There's no way we can recycle our way out of it. And that has been the message that industry has been telling us for so long, just recycle, just recycle. But the plastics industry is the petrochemical industry. Petrochemicals, a byproduct, ethane, are cracked is the process. It's cracked to make plastics. And the issue is that the petrochemical industry needs something to do with that byproduct in order to make money. So they need to sell it. By 2050, there's an expectation that 20% of all of the hydrocarbons extracted from the ground will be going specifically to plastics. So we're, you know, harvesting carbons out of the ground just to make single-use plastic items that have a life for about 12 minutes. So it's such an overwhelming issue that so many times people feel paralyzed by what can they do. And so there has been efforts to say, okay, what can you do? Bring your own bag. Silver City has the single-use plastic bag ban. That is really good. Bring your own bag, bring your own coffee cup, all those things. And they pushed it onto the consumer, which really isn't fair because the issue is so large and you have to be a consumer of privilege to be able to make those individual choices. So there's efforts now to make a sort of a producer pays type of model, which is, as you know, I think you had talked about in the introduction, which is the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act at the national level.
Yeah, that's great, Sarah. Tell us more about that act. And now our New Mexico Senator Tom Udall first introduced it with others last year, but he is retired now, as everyone knows, and it has been reintroduced this year. So what is the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act going to do?
Yeah, so I think New Mexico should be really proud that Senator Udall was the original sponsor of this in 2020. They did announce this act in February of 2020, and we all know that that was right when COVID was happening, so everything just went crazy with coronavirus. And so it was reintroduced on March 25th. On the Senate side, Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon has taken it over. And then on the representative side, it's Representative Alan Lowenthal from California. And there's over 100 co-sponsors. New Mexico's only co-sponsor is Representative Teresa Ledger Fernandez from the 3rd Congressional District. And so we're really working to get New Mexico's other representatives and senators to co-sponsor this. But the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, it is really the gold standard of how to manage this material. It does many, many things that activists and recyclers and, zero waste organizations really have been working for a long time. It requires producers to take responsibility for collecting and recycling their waste. It's called extended producer responsibility. That means that if you're the company that makes that juice pack or that item that can't be recycled in any program, and then the taxpayer has to deal with managing that at the end of its life, it makes it your job as the producer to take back that material and recycle it. Or the idea is, if you're in charge of recycling and paying for that material at the end of its life, you're going to stop making items that are so toxic and that are so hard to dispose of. One of the things that is really pervasive in Asia are these single-use packets. Think of like, you know, a foil ketchup packet, but they have them for everything, for shampoo, for soap. And it's partly because of poverty. People might not be able to buy a whole bottle of shampoo, so they buy a single-use packet. And they're so wasteful. They're non-recyclable, and they are littering our globe. So it brings that back on the producers. It creates a nationwide beverage container program. So, you know, there's a handful of states that have bottle bills. It creates a really well-run bottle bill. And bottle bill states have exponentially higher recycling and take-back programs than non-bottle bill states. And any unclaimed refunds from that beverage container program would be investments in a nationwide collection and recycling infrastructure. So it puts money into the program to help build those recycling centers that our communities need. It phases out top polluting products, some of the worst single-use plastic products that pollute our environment and cannot be recycled, single-use plastic bags, styrofoam takeout containers, plastic stirrers and plastic utensils, and then straws only available upon request. And it makes there be a carry-out bag fee. In New Mexico, Santa Fe has this. So if you are at the grocery store in Santa Fe, there's a single-use plastic bag ban. But we don't want to just replace a single-use plastic bag with a single-use paper bag. So if you want a paper bag, you pay that 10 cents. And that money then goes to the store, part of it, and also to the city for education and outreach. And it's so funny. It's only 10 cents. But oh my gosh, does it make me, I never want to pay that. I'll run out to the car and get my bags before I pay that 10-cent fee. So it creates a national carryout bag fee. It creates a minimum recycled content requirement. So a lot of these facilities, a lot of these petrochemical companies are talking about how great recycling is. At the same time, they're building giant cracking plants, these big facilities that make petrochemicals into plastics. It cracks ethane into plastic material. There's like in Pennsylvania, there's a 386-acre facility just going in that will produce 1 million tons of new plastic from virgin material per year. So that's not recycling. That's creating a new source of virgin plastic, of plastics. And it creates an incentive that requires minimum plastic content for beverage containers. So it makes it that we have to start recycling the plastic we have. It creates a market for that. And there's so much more. It's a long list, but it standardizes recycling and composting. You can't slap that little triangle with chasing arrows on anything. It creates standardized labels so the consumers can really understand what each thing means. And then the recycling programs can really educate their residents more easily. And then it looks at other things that are big issues like plastic tobacco filters, electronic cigarettes, derelict fishing gear is a really big issue in a lot of the rivers and shorelines of our country. And it looks at microfibers and microplastics. It would put a filter system on all new washing machines to capture those microplastics that are entering the waterways every time we wash our fleece jackets. And it expands the support for reuse and refill technology. It prevents plastic from being shipped to developing countries that cannot manage it. And it creates a temporary pause on new plastic facilities. So like that Shell cracking plant I mentioned in Pennsylvania, it just sort of says, hold on, wait a second, let's look at this. And it allows the EPA time to look at Clean Air and Clean Water Act emission. So it is a huge sweeping piece of legislation. And it's really the gold standard for how we could address all these issues that we all care about so closely.
Yes, it sounds like it. That's super exciting. And the New Mexico Recycling Coalition has a film project that you developed mm-hmm. to encourage New Mexicans to get involved in solving the plastic waste crisis. And you premiered the film a couple weeks ago. I was on your webinar. And how's it been received?
It's been received really well. The filmmaker, the director and producer is a gentleman named Greg Polk. And he did this. He volunteered all his time and he created this film. He found 22 New Mexicans ranging from the fifth graders in Albuquerque that literally are the reason Albuquerque passed their clean and green retail ordinance, which is their single-use plastic bag ban, anywhere from those school children to Senator Udall himself. And it's a short documentary. It's 17 minutes. It's free and available to watch on the website, nmtakingaction.org. So NM, you know, just those letters, nmtakingaction.org. And on that site, you can sign up to join a listserv of people interested in pursuing this. You know, how can we get other fifth graders together to pass single-use plastic bag bans in different parts of the state? Or what can be done at the local ordinance level to help mitigate plastic pollution? And we're having another webinar later in this month on April 30th to go into it a little bit more detail. But really, what I love about that film and what Greg did is all these people in the movie are really from different walks of life. There's a Sakia Mayor Domos from Abiquiu Pueblo. There's people working on illegal dumping issues in Taos County. There's UNM sustainability professors. There's zero waste experts in Albuquerque. And even though they're from such different backgrounds, they all see this challenge in the plastic pollution crisis, and it is affecting their lives and the land that they love. I mean, you know, the statistic is that each of us, just from our life as we live it today, we consume a credit card's worth of plastic each week, from microplastics in the food, in the air we breathe. It's a really big problem, and it is linked to climate change and fossil fuel extraction. In my opinion, the plastic waste crisis is the same as the climate change crisis. It's all connected.
Yes, absolutely. So what we have just a couple minutes left here, Sarah, but maybe are there any statewide efforts that the New Mexico Recycling Coalition is spearheading related to plastics? Or are you putting all your effort into the federal legislation?
Well, we kind of want to do both. So the federal legislation is the gold standard. We're not holding our breath. We don't expect it to pass next week. But we do want to work towards its implementation. And there's, you know, there's work at the national level to get parts of it put into Biden's infrastructure bill. There's really, you know, it's really active at the federal level. At the local level, we want to build that grassroots support. And we encourage people to go to nmtakingaction.org and register for our listserv. I think it's possible for New Mexico to create a statewide plastics trifecta bill, is what we call it. The plastics trifecta bill is a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags, a statewide ban on polystyrene food and takeout containers, and then those plastic accessories like stirrers, utensils, straws being available upon request. And that's a lofty goal as well. And it starts at the grassroots level. It might start with, you know, one company choosing to do this, or one restaurant, and then we kind of see how it's worked for them, and then maybe going from a couple of restaurants or businesses to a city, and then building that support. And we're going to do that through that listserv, that nmtakingaction.org listserv for plastic waste.
That sounds exciting. That's great. And yeah, we'll have all of this information available on our Earth Matters website at gmcr.org. So one last time, Sarah, if people want to get involved in the New Mexico Recycling Coalition, how can they get more information? What's your website address?
Our website is recyclenewmexico, and New Mexico is all spelled out, .com. So if you go to recyclenewmexico.com, we'll have links to that plastics listserv. We'll have links to sign up for the backyard composting. I think our next backyard compost training is, you know, it's one per week for throughout April and then into May. And we can do them in the evening. We can do them during the lunch hour. We can do them during the day. But then you can get started on diverting your own food waste. So just sign up at recyclenewmexico.com. And my contact info is on there. I'm happy to hear from all of you and work together to help inspire New Mexicans to reduce, reuse, and recycle.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Sarah Pierpont, Executive Director of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition, for talking with me today. And thank you so much for all the work you do here in New Mexico on sustainable waste and materials management.
You're very welcome. It was an honor being on your show. Thank you, Allison.
All right, let's take a short break and we'll be back to talk with Chris Lemmy, President of Silver City Recycles. Don't go away. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM Silver City and KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project. If you're just joining us, we've been talking today about the very serious global waste problem. What do we do about the mountains of plastic, glass, paper, metals, and other wastes that we're generating as byproducts of our consumeristic throwaway society? In the first half of the show, I talked to Sarah Pierpont of the New Mexico Recycling Coalition about the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act and waste reduction efforts here in New Mexico. For the second half of the show, Chris Lemmy, president of Silver City Recycles, is with me to talk about local efforts here in Grant County. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to finally get you on Earth Matters. So let's, Chris, start out by telling me a little bit about Silver City Recycles and why you started the organization.
Sure. So I think the genesis was back in the summer of 2019 when the city of Silver decided to stop their curbside recycling pickup program. And there are a number of valid reasons why that decision was made. So a couple of us concerned citizens got together and we started throwing around ideas of like, how could this be taken up by other organizations? And we kept stumbling upon the same problems that the city had, which is that there was a global collapse in the recycling market, because most of our recyclable materials were being shipped to China and China had decided to stop taking those. And one of the solutions that we kept coming up with, at least conceptually, was how can we use recyclable materials locally? How can we collect these materials, process them, and turn them into useful products in our community instead of shipping them off somewhere else, whether that's to El Paso or to China? So that was really the genesis of how this organization came about. So our main goal is to reduce waste that's going into the landfill. And that really is the three R's that we're all familiar with: reducing consumption, reusing materials, and then lastly, recycling materials, turning them into something else that has use. All of those processes keep those materials out of the landfill. So that's really what the emphasis is at Silver City Recycles. We try to promote any activity in our community that supports all of those activities. So one of the first things that we got off the ground was a partnership with the town of Silver City, who purchased a glass crushing machine with the agreement that we would operate it and that we would organize the collection of glass, which we are starting to do and have been doing for about a year now. And so we take the bottle glass from our community and we crush it into a sand and gravel material that can be used as sand and gravel substitutes, which can be used anything from concrete aggregate to fill and pipe bedding and trenching and other things. And the city has agreed to use this material in some of their municipal projects. And that project has been slow to start, primarily because of COVID and a lot of the other disruptions that have occurred in the last year. But I think since we started out thinking of this as a pilot project or a proof of concept, by all means, or all standards that we set out, we've been wildly successful. And I don't know if numbers mean anything to people, but I believe we've diverted about 40 tons of glass from the landfill in the last year.
Wow, that's super impressive. That's great. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for stepping up and filling that void after Silver City stopped its curbside recycling program, because I think it's a great showing of people coming together, as you said, to solve a problem. And so you have collection events the last Saturday of every month. So you've already mentioned that you're collecting glass, but what other recyclables are you collecting? And where, give us maybe a little bit more information, like where you're located. And
sure. So the first resource I'll direct people to is our website, and that's silvercityrecycles.org. And we have a lot of detailed information on our homepage about what materials we collect what condition they have to be in, and et cetera. But I'll go over the highlights. So we collect bottle glass, and that's anything from beverage bottles to mayonnaise jars, et cetera. Everything needs to be cleaned, so no food waste in the containers. For glass bottles, we don't require the labels to be removed because the machine does a pretty good job of sifting out the paper. But we also collect plastics, and as everybody should be aware, our plastics have recycling numbers on them. So we will collect number 1, number 2, and number 5 plastics. So these are basically your pop bottles, your water bottles, your yogurt containers, food containers, that types of thing. For plastics, we do require that not only do they be clean, so they have to be rinsed of any food material, but all the labels that can reasonably be removed, be removed. Now, we understand that some labels are stubbornly sticky, unfortunately, and that can be a problem. But one of the issues that we deal with is the purity of the recyclable stream. And so when we try to resell these materials to the recyclable market, if they're not clean, if they don't have the paper removed, sometimes they won't even be accepted at all. And then, unfortunately, that would have to end up going to the dump ultimately. So the cleaner the materials, the better the chance that we can actually truly recycle these plastics. And then the other category of materials that we collect are corrugated cardboard. So this is anything that has the little zigzag in between two pieces, not cereal boxes, not anything, paper towel rolls, stuff like that, only corrugated cardboard, and then aluminum cans and steel cans.
Okay, that's great. And where are you all located? Where do people drop off their recyclables?
Yeah, so our collection facility is at the end of Bullard, and the address is 305 South Bullard. So it's all the way at the end of the street. Now, we recommend that people go to our Facebook group, which is also called Silver City Recycles, or to our website to look for a map for the traffic pattern, because as a result of the great success and the wonderful support in our community, usually we get so many people showing up that we have a line of cars going from all the way down the street. And in order that we don't impact the businesses on Bullard, we actually have people coming down Texas Street. So if you're not very familiar with that, go to our website or to our Facebook page, and there will be a map on there. And we collect the last Saturday of every month. And in April, that's going to be the 24th.
That's great. And also, you're following COVID safe practices, right? So people don't have to get out of their cars. They just stay in their cars. Is that right?
Yes. We request that everybody wear masks, stay in your cars. Somebody will approach and ask you, you know, questions about your materials. Everything has to be sorted and separated. So if you have your number 1 plastics and number 2 plastics, please put them in separate containers, bags. We'll take cardboard boxes, plastic garbage bags, anything. Even if you have, you know, like the old recycling containers or some permanent container that you want back, we'll empty them and bring them back to your car for you. But everything needs to be separated for us because we don't have enough volunteers to actually do the separating. We have to just dump a container into a large container and then come back to your car or throw away the temporary container that you have it in.
Okay. So sorting is super important. So in order to cut down on extra work, you mentioned a little bit about clean recyclables. And my understanding is that the contamination of the waste stream was one of the major reasons why Silver City's recycling program was not successful. We had a pretty high rate of contamination. So a lot of the stuff that we were recycling ended up just getting dumped in the landfill. So tell just maybe give us a little bit more of discussion on why it's important to have clean recyclables. Some things kind of gum up the machinery, right? And
right. The simple thing to think about is if you have a water bottle and you want it to be recycled, How does that become a new water bottle? Well, it has to be chipped up into little pieces, and those little pieces have to be melted and has to be put into an injection molding machine, and it has to be molded into another bottle. Well, if that bottle has a paper label on it, or if it's a food bottle like mayonnaise or ketchup or something and it has that food residue in it, then you can't really use that material to make a new bottle out of it. It's not practical. So the more we can clean our recyclables, you know, take that responsibility for the material that you're trying to get recycled, the higher the chance that that material will actually be turned into a new product that can be used in the future.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And Chris, you talked a bit about what you're doing with the glass, trying to find a local use for the crushed glass. What about the other recyclables? Where are they going once you collect them?
So to our initial vision, there are a few ideas of what we can do with the plastics, none of which have come to fruition yet, but we're continue to do R&D, some research, a little bit of development. We do have some machines that we've been practicing with on melting plastics. So one possibility is to make what's called a composite lumber, which is plastic mixed with wood fiber. So there are products on the market. Some people might be familiar with something called Trex, which is used for decking. So that's a possibility. Another thing that we've been looking into is making paving bricks for backyard patios, sidewalks, et cetera, that are made out of plastic and glass. There are a couple other things that we're looking at that are low, what I consider lower volume and thus not necessarily something that will consume all of our plastics. But, you know, we could have injection molding machines that made, for example, plastic flower pots. So, you know, there are things that we can do with these plastic materials. We haven't gotten to the point yet of finding a solution that's either economically viable or even something that we can do on a volunteer basis that really makes sense. But that doesn't mean we won't. We just haven't gotten to that point yet. So in the meantime, the most reasonable thing to do with these materials is to sell them to people that are already doing something in the recycling world. So what we're doing is we're shredding the plastic as it's, you know, in its sorted numbers, and we're selling them in bulk back into the recycling market, of which there is still a small working market in the United States. And our goal is to essentially break even on all costs. So unfortunately, there's nobody anywhere near us that buys this material. The closest large-scale consumers of this are in El Paso, so we have to drive this material to El Paso. That costs diesel fuel, et cetera, et cetera. If we get enough money from the sale of these materials to cover our costs, we'll consider that a success. And the same thing is true with cardboard, aluminum, and steel cans. There are functioning markets for those materials, and we're bundling them up in big bales and selling those in bulk, usually when we get a semi-truck load full so that it makes sense that we can drive it down to El Paso.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks for clarifying and where things are going, and that's really great. So you're pretty much, it sounds like to me, you've got a very committed group of recyclers, so you can probably guarantee the cleanliness of the recyclables and make money off what you're sending down to El Paso is what it sounds like.
Yeah, we've been very encouraged by the support in the community. We have an incredible loyal base of people who are very committed to recycling. And then we have a lot of people who are recycling for the first time since the city shut down their curbside pickup. And everybody's been very conscientious. And, you know, there's definitely a learning curve because this is a very different process than what people were used to when the city was doing it. But yeah, people are incredibly willing, and I've been just amazed at the support we've been getting from our community. And it really can't be done without our community members. And this goes for both our volunteers and for the people who bring recyclables to our collection days.
Well, that sounds great. Well, Chris, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM Silver City and KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project. I'm talking with Chris Lemmy, President of Silver City Recycles, a nonprofit organization that works to reduce waste in Grant County. And we've been talking about the Silver City Recycles program. And I think, Chris, we've talked a little bit about some of the local uses that you are developing for recyclables that you're collecting. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention on that topic? You mentioned pavers and using crushed glass and asphalt. Anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Just that a lot of people who are doing like what I call, you know, do-it-yourself projects have asked us for the crushed glass. I've actually had a couple who are using the full bottles to line a walkway. They're burying the bottles upside down so the bottles are sticking, the flat end is sticking up. So there are lots of interesting things that people are doing, very creative things. I had another group of people that wanted to build a bottle wall, and so we gave them, you know, several hundred pounds of bottles. So if anybody has any creative idea or something they want to do with either crushed glass or for that matter, aluminum cans or steel cans, or if you have something you've seen on the internet that you want to do and you don't have these materials, we have literally tons of materials. So anybody who needs a large quantity of these materials, just get in contact with us.
That's great. That's a great idea. I love seeing the bottle walls around town. There's some really beautiful ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect use for all those bottles. So Chris, you talked a little bit about sort of the business incubator aspect of Silver City Recycles, and you have a corporate member, Trash to Treasure, that offers a subscription recycling pickup service. How does that work?
Yeah, so Trash to Treasure is our first corporate member, and this is really gets to the core of the original idea we had for Silver City Recycles. We wanted the nonprofit to be kind of an umbrella organization, almost kind of like a chamber of commerce for recycling companies. And then our corporate members are separate entities, mostly for-profit companies, as Trash to Treasure is, that provide some specific service in the recycling sphere. And then as a corporate member, we provide support. We share our megaphone to the community, and we can provide volunteer services. So we have lots of volunteers in our organization, and different activities can be shared between our corporate members and Silver City Recycles.
That's really great. And if you don't mind, tell us what Trash to Treasure does.
Yeah, so Trash to Treasure is a subscription service, as you said, for, I believe it's a bi-monthly pickup every other week. And for a small fee, and I don't know exactly what their fee structure is off the top of my head, but you can have the recyclable materials collected, and they, you know, do a curbside pickup. But it's not single stream like what the city did. It's just like as if you brought it to the yard yourself. Everything has to be divided up into the different categories, the different plastic numbers, the cans, the cardboard. Everything has to be separate. And again, it's to reduce the workload all throughout the system. And then also the cleanliness, you know, everything has to be washed and labels removed and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so there it's basically using Silver City Recycles infrastructure. The only difference is there for a small fee or whatever the fee is. I shouldn't say small, but for some fee, they're coming by your house and picking it up. And
exactly.
provide. So they're kind of doing that service that Silver City was doing, the curbside recycling pickup service.
Yep.
Well, that's really awesome. And Chris, you mentioned that it takes a lot of volunteers to do the collection days once a month and just making sure that the recyclables are going in the right piles and all that kind of stuff. You've got a big need for volunteers, it sounds like. And what types of volunteer needs do you have, and how can people sign up or get connected to you all?
So yeah, we are a 100% volunteer organization, and we couldn't do what we do without the support of our community. And I've been very thankful from day one of how much support we have in our community for that. So if anybody is interested in learning more about our organization and what we do, you can go to our Facebook group, Silver City Recycles, or our website, silvercityrecycles.org. If you want to volunteer, you can send an email to silvercitynmrecycles@gmail.com. So that's slightly different than our website. Most of the activities that we need volunteers for revolve around our collection days and the sorting of materials once they're acquired. And then we do have a small need, although we already have quite a few volunteers, to operate the glass crushing machines. But that's a more technical process that requires an amount of training. But if you are interested, you can get in contact with us and, you know, we can set you up to be trained to use that machine. Otherwise, most of the activities are fairly low activity, like lifting a bag of plastic and dumping it into another bigger container. So we have a range of activities. So some of our volunteers can't lift heavy things, and we understand that. So we have them doing certain things. People who can lift, like a 20 or 30 pound receptacle, we might have them working with the glass, which is much heavier, and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. And then tell us again how people can find out more information on your organization and all the specifics on what's recyclable. I think that also was a problem with the town program, right? Is nobody was ever really sure what was recyclable, what wasn't. And I mean, no. I pizza boxes, I think, was the perennial problem, or like paper towel rolls, or, you know, those sorts of things. So it is really important, like we talked about, for the whole keeping the waste stream pure and not contaminated, to that everybody understands what is recyclable and what isn't.
Right. So probably the best place to go would be to our website, so silvercityrecycles.org. And right on our homepage, there's a whole section on what materials we accept during collection days and what we ask people to do to sort them, to clean them, and et cetera. Trash to Treasure also has similar information on their website. And I believe their website is T2Green, G-R-E-E-N. And they also have a whole description of how materials need to be sorted and cleaned and et cetera. Otherwise, you can check out our Facebook group. Again, that's Silver City Recycles on Facebook. And there's lots of postings in there, not only about our collection days, but people post things all the time, ideas about how to reuse certain things. There are a number of people that have what I would consider volunteer services that are somewhat ancillary to recycling. So, for example, I know there's a fellow on there who's posted several times that he takes old computers and he'll recycle them. Old printers, things like that. So there are other things that we don't necessarily are in control of, but we're kind of providing a message board to allow certain people to do these other activities, which is, again, is part of our mission.
Yes, absolutely. The whole e-waste area is really, really problematic. And we need to solve that. I mean, here we are, you know, expanding and building new mines for metals, and we're not even recycling all of the, the precious metals in these electronics. And we need to be solving that problem. So, well, Chris, in the couple minutes we have left, do you have any remaining thoughts you'd like to tell our listeners?
Yeah. So the two things that I would like to ask from our community, one is, if you're at all interested in recycling activities at any level, come check out our website, check out our Facebook page, send us an email. Like I said, we're always looking for volunteers, and we're trying not to suffer from volunteer burnout. And we do have a number of people that have been doing this for a while. And so it's always good to get some fresh faces. So please contact us if you're at all interested. The second one is the other main part of our mission, which I talked briefly about, is this incubation concept of anybody who has any idea, any interest in creating any kind of a company that recycles or reuses any kind of materials, or if you just have the desire to do something, but you don't really have the idea, we have lots of ideas that we just don't have enough people to do. Come contact us. And like I mentioned, there might even be some grant money available to get some startups off the ground. But definitely we have organizational support, and we have lots of contacts in the community, both with the town of Silver City, Grant County, and then with lots of individuals and other organizations in the area. So if you need resources, we can hook you up with the right people and the right organizations. And we really just want to be this kind of umbrella organization that helps get recycling going. And like you mentioned, you know, e-waste, construction waste. There's all of these areas that aren't being touched at all that are just ripe for opportunity. We just need the people to step forward and say, yeah, I'd be interested in doing that.
Well, that sounds great. You all have had such tremendous success in just a short amount of time, 1 year, and you've gotten a curbside recycling program with T2T, trash to treasure set up, and you're selling recyclables and finding local uses for products. It's super exciting. So congratulations on your success. Yeah. So, Chris, thanks so much for talking with me today, and we appreciate you and your volunteers stepping up to reduce waste here in Grant County.
Great. Thank you for having me, and thank you to the community for all your support.
All right. So thank you for joining us today on Earth Matters. A podcast of today's show and past programs are available in the Earth Matters archive at gmcr.org. Thank you to our audio engineers, Marcus Hansen and Michael Allen. Join us next week for another episode of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, 89.1 FM Silver City, and KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces.